is the time of the broadcast. We return to the digital newsroom, and I've been saving a collection of Northern Arizona above the rim high elevation questions for just such occasion. We were joined again by Mr. Tom Riley of Renovations, starting with Tamara and Paradise Valley. I'm sorry, Prescott Valley. PV, you know, there's more than one PV in Arizona. Prescott Valley. Being as it's we're going into the cooler season, she wants to know, is it still okay to paint the house? Because they're in dire need of it, and they're not sure if they should wait through and wait till it warms back up, or is it okay to paint now?
Well, it's certainly okay to paint right now. Typically, we try to keep temperatures someplace in the vicinity, not unlike laying asphalt, in above freezing and rising. You know, that kind of thing. And that's the best time to do it. You get a good painter in there, and they will tell you just about when they can and when they can't paint. And there is a Rosie-certified painter in the in that area, and that would be Century Painting, I believe.
Absolutely.
Call Mr. Barry, and he'll get you set. Mike writes in, and he's got a cabin in Walker. And generally speaking, they haven't gone up in the winter months, so the water's not turned on, and they haven't worried about it. Well, with the kids old enough and some occasional snow falling, they want to take them up to play in the snow. Well, obviously, you're going to turn the water on, get your hot water heater going. They have a crawl space with the pipes in it, and he's worried now, without draining it and leaving it for the winter, how do you keep these pipes pressurized without freezing?
Well, that's going to be difficult to do in an unconditioned space. If you're not using the water, typically, and the water's not moving through the system, then there's a chance that it could freeze in the pipe. It'll freeze inside the pipe, and that's when the pipe will split and burst open, and you'll just end up, when it thaws out, with a big old leak, like you were talking, like Bill was talking about in the landscape hour ahead of this. So my suggestion would be a couple of things. One, you really have to insulate, particularly up in Walker. I lived up there, and I know it's cold. You need to insulate the pipes well. That's number one. And if you insulate them well, even if you do insulate them well and you don't keep the water moving through them, there's still a possibility that they could freeze up there because it gets darn cold up in the mountains over there. My suggestion would be is that you do drain it down when you leave and then charge it back up when you come up. And then while you're there, you'll probably use enough water to keep it flowing through both day and night. But turn it off when you leave again. Don't leave it pressurized the whole time.
And this insulation, it's a pipe insulation that just goes over it, kind of like a I'm picturing a swimming pool noodle looking thing. You hold down the middle and it clamps over it, or is there an electric heat wrap that you put on it?
You could do all the above. You could do the electric heat wraps. You could do the pipe insulation, which is usually a foam product. And either one of them, you know, will help with that. But if you're not moving the water through the system and it gets down to zero and below up there, if you're not moving the water through the system and it's sitting there for weeks, months on end, there's a chance that it may freeze.
Paul writes in from, we don't know where he's from. We just know he's looking to build a cabin in Deering Park. You know where that is?
Yes, I do. Just on the other side of Thumb Butte.
Excellent. And he's looking for somebody that might know something about building a cabin in that area.
Well, he should probably give us a call. Depends upon what he wants to do. If he's looking for somebody from the ground up, if he's looking for a particular subcontractors to help him out with a variety of different things and looking to be his own general, does he have a design, does he have the permit, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'd be more than happy to have a conversation with him if he would like to give us a call or email us.
RenovationsAZ.com?
Correct. Tom@RenovationsAZ.com.
Jerry writes in. He says, I hear y'all talking about foam roofs all the time, but I don't see many in Prescott. I do have a flat roof. Is that something I should consider, or should I just stick with the asphalt?
I would consider foam roofs in Prescott. I've used foam roofs in the past on a commercial application. As a matter of fact, a very large building in the downtown area, we put foam on because it just had added on to for so many times over the years. The building started out as being a little rectangle 100 years ago, and it's been added on, I think it was a total of 8 different times and 8 different roof planes, and just, it was a mess. And to try to flash something like that was an absolute nightmare, so we just covered the whole thing with foam, and it's still there. You have to stay up on it just like you do down here with the paint and what have you, but it's worth it.
I'm curious, in Prescott, for that foam application, did you have to reach down to Phoenix for a foam contractor?
At that time that I did, what I would probably recommend is, again, there's a Rosie-certified roofer in Prescott, Central Basin Roofing.
Yeah.
Giving them a call, they will know, and they will probably have affiliations with people that can do that foam roof.
Okay.
That would be Dave Kenyon. So we appreciate your help with our mountain listeners.
Foam has brought in a whole new level of sealing a house up.
That is correct. Foam, there are all different kinds of foams now, and they're not nearly as toxic as they used to be, which is another issue bringing us back to the sustainability issue, and that's the cleanness of the air and the products that you're using. The foams that we have now pretty much are non-toxic foams. What's good about foam is it goes in almost as a liquid. And, well, pretty much as a liquid. It goes in a liquid and it fills the nooks and the crannies, that little tiny space between the stud and the outside sheathing or the stud and the drywall. It fills all that up, fills all the nooks and crannies, and it does not settle because it turns solid when it's done, when it cures. If you talked earlier about doing the infrared photographs of the house.
Yes.
And what that does, one of the main things that does, it tells you where you're losing heat. And a lot of times you'll find that the insulation, whether it be fiberglass or blown-in insulation, has settled in the wall cavities. And when it settles in there, that's where the heat starts to leak out.
You got that little collar all the way around the top of the walls.
And little collars, little triangles.
Thermal
foam fills it up.
Thermal bridging. We're going to talk more about that and how you can use thermal imaging also to find flashing and water leaks in your stucco exterior walls.
For the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.